We're starting now to hear about Paul's presence in Corinth. I've described Corinth for you. Las Vegas. You see, it was a town between two bodies of water. And so there was, the shipping would come in from one, and it would be, the boats would be dragged by horses, rolling on logs to the other side. Then finally there was a canal built. But that meant that Corinth was doubly a port town. And it had a reputation for that, I think I've told you that. To say to somebody, si Corinthigi, you live like a Corinthian, you couldn't say a more insulting thing about somebody. So that's where Paul is. And there he met Aquila and Priscilla. And it says here, you see, Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Why? Well, we know from Tacitus, a historian, that there were riots being stored up, and they were being stirred up. Tacitus was way above all these things, these Jews and their religious arguments, you see. And he says, because there were riots, impulsore quodam Christo, at the instigation of some Christus, some Christ. So the arguments were about Jesus, and they were getting into riots. So Claudius, the emperor, said, all the Jews, get out of here. You're going to go fight about your Christus anywhere you want, but not here. So it gives you another glimpse into the early life in the Church of Rome. But this sophisticated, you know, upper-class man, the historian Tacitus, he's the one, he doesn't like Jews at all. And it's clear, and he wrote a 5-volume history of Rome. Every time he mentions the Jews, there's some crack. Another one that he has in there is, the Jews are the enemies of mankind. They never expose their children. They just keep producing, but they don't, you know, abortion was more difficult in those days. So very often, the woman would give birth to the child and they'd take it and put it out in the gutter. And people were going around all day scouring the gutters looking for babies that were still alive so they could take them, raise them, and make slaves and prostitutes out of them. Tough life, you see. This is the world that received the gospel and produced saints, scholars, you know, families, communities, by the power of the Lord. In the gospel, we have this little while, and it's a bit ambiguous. Does he mean the little while between when he dies and when he rises? Or does he mean the little while from when he ascends and comes back? And does he mean the little while when he ascends and come back? Or does he mean the little while when he ascends and comes back in the blessed Holy Spirit? All of the above, probably. You see, but he's predicting to us as well his absence. But never total absence. Or we'd all perish. Who'd stand? Who could live in this culture now? And wait and see how bad it gets, if it weren't for the presence of the Lord Christ. One place we see him every day. It's right here. He comes to feed us and console us, to teach us and prepare us, not only so that we make it, but that we help all other Christians make it, and we help everybody make it. We preach the gospel, thinking all day, how can I transmit a knowledge of Jesus to people? Well, one way is to be a Christian. Just don't get involved in the gossip and the anger and the, you know, just don't. But then there's got to be more. I think many of you were there when I told the story about my uncle, who was a very courageous man, and he was he worked for the Treasury Department, so he was looking for smugglers, but he was always looking for the top guy. So he had a 38 right here all the time. Boy, he was my hero. For a lot of reasons, he was too. Because I knew he loved me a lot, too. And so I used to dream as a kid I was going to be like my uncle. He was also in the Army. I was going to be in the Army, and I was going to, you know, be like my uncle, be able to shoot at straight, you know. And but he was someone who lived a very upright life and waited for the Lord to come. He died very peacefully. Also, it turned out when he retired, he was an artist. He was painting all over the place, portraits and everything, you know. Whoever knew that about him, you know? So you see, the Lord is saying, the little while can be the little while of periods of darkness in our life. They're more painful and more purifying to the degree that we're really praying. If every day the Lord is talking to us, if every day we hear His word and it reverberates in us and then whoosh, nothing. You have to keep praying. But there's nothing going on. No, there's nothing you're perceiving going on. But it's going on. Because, you see, we're like, what can I say? It's like music. You know, we all like honky-tonk and jazz and stuff like that. And the Lord is trying to get us to understand more refined music. Well, we don't like that new stuff. You know, we like all this jazzy stuff. Well, prayer is like that. You know, somebody was just telling me they had a great breakthrough. Gosh, you know how we always say, you hear from the Lord. Well, this person got so discouraged because they weren't hearing from the Lord, so they gave up. He just happened to mention it to me. I was so glad. No, this is the time when you grow. You go to the Lord and say, I'm here just because I love you. I don't care if anything happens, and I'm going to offer that up for this poor world who doesn't even know you. And I'm not even sure I know you anymore. Don't give up. We need those times so that we can graduate from jazz, which is a good thing, by the way, but to real music, to prayer, where we know the presence of the Lord. And He speaks to us, not just a flash here and there or a light into the scriptures, but an abiding presence. And that rhythm goes on throughout our life, hopefully. And, you know, if we really get good at it, then it's the presence of the Lord that feels like an absence because it's so overwhelming. Mystics will tell us the dark night of the soul is really the overwhelming light blinds us. It's like a bat flying toward the sun. The Lord is so present that we're blinded. We can't pick Him up. We can't, but we know. And that's so important, you see. When you're praying, don't go by what I pick up. Go by the presence of the Lord that you can perceive, even though you don't perceive it. And that's very important. You see, otherwise, because we're charismatics, we're expecting, you know, every day is going to be a circus. Well, it is for a while, because we need that. But then He wants to help us graduate, move. And so we pray. And we pray, and there's some place in us that we know we're doing the right thing. And the rest of us is bored and distracted and wants to quit. And Satan, that's where he goes to work. You're not made for prayer. You're more of an active person. You can quit this, you know. Or bring a book. And while you're praying, you're reading. No! I'm not saying don't bring a book. I'm saying you'll know the difference when you're distracting yourself, when the Lord wants you to yearn for him in darkness, and when you should read a little bit. But this rhythm, you see, is the rhythm of his death and resurrection, his ascension and his return. But it's also in our own lives. In a little while, you won't see me. And then in a little while, you will see me. It's those little whiles, no matter how long they last. You remember Mother Teresa? You know, the reporter asked her, Mother Teresa, what is it like to have deep experiences of God in prayer? And you remember her answer? It has been so long, I have forgotten. But down in the depth of her spirit, like a little pilot light, was this fierce fire. You see, sanctifying her, sanctifying her sisters, sanctifying all those she cared for. It's an important time in life. And we lose the support. So if all this stuff goes on, the HHS and all that stuff goes on, you know, we're going to look pretty odd after a while. And a lot will fall away. We have to hang in there. And we may not be overwhelmed with consolation. We'll say, am I nuts? What am I hanging in here for? That's when you have to listen. That's when you have to listen. So I'd recommend that we practice. And the way to practice is to hang around with Our Lady. How do you think she felt standing there, seeing her son, her own flesh and blood, on the cross? And remembering a little while, how long is this little while? Look at him. Trust the Lord. He will always be there. But he wants to train us to pick him up on another level. So it's not all the same. We have a good motto about getting a word from the Lord. But sometimes the word is so deep and so big and so beautiful, we don't get it. But we're getting it anyway. Does that make any sense? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's important right now that we learn this.